Chapter 6. Questioning Intentions. Morgaes Trakand, once Queen of Andor, served tea. She moved from person to person in the large pavilion Perrin had taken from Maldon. It had sides that could be rolled up, and no tent floor. Large though the tent was, there was barely enough room for all who had wanted to attend the meeting. Perrin and Fael were there, of course, sitting on the ground. Next to them sat golden-eyed Elias and Tamal Thor, the simple farmer with the broad shoulders and the calm manners. Was this man really the father of the dragon reborn? Of course, Morgaes had seen Randall Thor once, and the boy hadn't looked much more than a farmer himself. Beside Tam sat Perrin's dusty secretary, Seben Balwar. How much did Perrin know of his past? Jur Grady was there also, wearing his black coat with a silver sword pin on the collar. His leathery farmer's face was hollow-eyed and still pale from the sickness he'd suffered recently. Niald, the other Ashaman, was not there. He hadn't yet recovered from being snake-bitten. All three Aes Sedai were there. Sionid and Masuri sat with the Wise Ones, and Anura sat beside Berylaine, occasionally shooting glances at the six Wise Ones. Galen sat on Berylaine's other side. Across from them sat Aleandra and Arganda. The officers made Morgaes think of Gareth Bryn. She hadn't seen him in a long while, not since she'd exiled him for reasons she still couldn't quite explain. Very little about that time in her life made sense to her now. Had she really been so infatuated with a man that she'd banished Aemlyn and Alorian? Anyway, those days were gone. Now Morgaes picked her way carefully through the room and saw that people's cups were kept full.
"Your work took longer than I'd expected," Perrin said.
"You gave us a duty to attend to, Perrin Ebarra," Navarin replied. "We accomplished it. It took us as much time as needed to do it correctly. Surely you don't imply that we did otherwise."
The sandy-haired Wise One sat directly in front of Sionid and Masuri.
"Give over, Navarin," Perrin grunted as he unrolled a map before him on the ground. It had been drawn by Balwar using instructions from the Gildanins. "I wasn't questioning you. I was asking if there were any problems in the burning."
"The village is gone," Navarin said. "And every plant we found with a hint of blight has been burned to ash. As well we did. You wetlanders would have much trouble dealing with something as deadly as the blight."
"I think," Fael said, "that you would be surprised."
Morgaes glanced at Fael, who locked eyes with the Wise One. Fael sat like a queen, once again dressed to her station in a fine dress of green and violet, pleated down the sides and divided for riding. Morgaes and Fael had quickly gone back to being servant and mistress. In fact, Morgaes's life here was strikingly similar to what it had been in the Shido camp. True, some things were different. Morgaes wasn't likely to be strapped here, for instance. That didn't change the fact that, for a time, she and the other four women had been equals. No longer. Morgaes stopped beside Lord Galen and refilled his cup, using the same skills she'd cultivated in attending Savannah. At times, being a servant seemed to require more stealth than being a scout. She wasn't to be seen, wasn't to distract. Had her own servants acted this way around her?
"Well," Arganda said, "if anyone is wondering where we've gone, the smoke from that fire is an easy indicator."
"We're far too many people to think of hiding," Sionid said.
Recently, she and Masuri had begun being allowed to speak without reprimand from the Wise Ones, though the Green did still glance at the Aiel women before speaking. It galled Morgaes to see that. Sisters of the Tower, made as if apprentices to a bunch of wilders? It was said to have been done at Randall Thor's order, but how would any man, even the Dragon Reborn, be capable of such a thing?
It discomforted her that the two-eyed Sedai no longer seemed to resist their station. A person's situation in life could change her dramatically. Gabriel, then Valda, had taught Morgaze that lesson. The Aiel captivity had been merely another step in the process. Each of these experiences had moved her farther away from the queen she had been. Now she didn't long for fine things or her throne. She just wanted some stability. That, it seemed, was a commodity more precious than gold.
"It doesn't matter," Perrin said, tapping the map. "So, we're decided? We chase after Gil and the others on foot for now, sending scouts by gateway to find them if possible. Hopefully we'll catch them before they reach Lugard. How long to the city would you say, Arganda?"
"Depends on the mud," the wiry soldier said. "There's a reason we call this time of year the swamping. Wise men don't travel during the spring melt."
"Wisdom is for those who have time for it," Perrin muttered, counting off distance on the map with his fingers. Morgaze moved to refill Anura's cup. Pouring tea was more complicated than she'd ever assumed. She had to know whose cup to take aside and fill, and whose to fill while they were holding it. She had to know precisely how high to fill a cup so that it would not spill, and how to pour the tea without rattling the porcelain or splashing. She knew when to not be seen and when to make a slight production out of filling cups in case she'd missed people, forgotten them, or misjudged their needs. She carefully took Perrin's cup from beside him on the ground. He liked to gesture when he spoke, and could knock the cup from her hand if she was unwary. All in all, there was a remarkable art to serving tea, an entire world that Morgaze the Queen had never bothered to notice. She refilled Perrin's cup and placed it back beside him. Perrin asked other questions about the map, nearby towns, potential sources of resupply. He had a lot of promise as a leader, even if he was rather inexperienced. A little advice from Morgaze. She cut that thought off. Perrin Abara was an interloper, a rebel. The Two Rivers was part of Andor, and he'd named himself Lord of it, flying that wolf-head banner. At least the flag of Manetheran had been taken down. Flying that had been nothing short of an open declaration of war. Morgaze no longer bristled every time someone named him a lord, but she also didn't intend to offer him any help. Not until she determined how to move him back beneath the cloak of the Andorran monarchy. Besides, Morgaze grudgingly admitted, Fael is sharp enough to give any advice I would have. Fael was actually a perfect complement to Perrin. Where he was a blunt and leveled lance at charge, she was a subtle cavalry bow. The combination of the two, with Fael's connections to the Saldaean throne, was what really worried Morgaze. Yes, he'd taken the Manetheran banner, but he'd ordered that wolfhead banner taken down before. Often, forbidding something was the best way to ensure that it happened. Aleandra's cup was half empty. Morgaze moved over to refill it. Like many high-born ladies, Aleandra always expected her cup to be full. Aleandra glanced at Morgaze, and there was a faint glimmer of discomfort in those eyes. Aleandra felt uncertain what their relationship should be. That was curious, as Aleandra had been so haughty during their captivity. The person Morgaze had once been, the queen, wanted to sit Aleandra down and give a lengthy explanation of how to better maintain her grandeur. She'd have to learn on her own. Morgaze was no longer the person she had once been. She wasn't sure what she was, but she would learn how to do her duty as a lady's maid. This was becoming a passion for her, a way to prove to herself that she was still strong, still of value. In a way, it was terrifying that she worried about that. "Lord Perrin," Aleandra said as Morgaze moved away, "is it true that you're planning on sending my people back to Jahanna after you find Gil and his group?" Morgaze continued past Masuri. The Aes Sedai liked her cup refilled only when she tapped on it lightly with her fingernail.
"I do," Perrin replied.
We all know it wasn't completely your will to join us in the first place. If we hadn't brought you along, you'd never have been captured by the Shido. Massima is dead. Time to let you return to governing your nation. With all due respect, my lord, Aleandra said, why are you recruiting from among my countrymen if not to gather an army for future use? I'm not trying to recruit, Perrin said. Just because I don't turn them away doesn't mean I intend to enlarge this army any further. My lord, Aleandra said, but surely it is wise to keep what you have.
She has a point, Perrin, Berylaine added softly. One needs only look at the sky to know the last battle is imminent. Why send her force back? I'm certain that the Lord Dragon will have need of every soldier from every land sworn to him.
He can send for them when he decides to, Perrin said stubbornly. My lord, Aleandra said, I did not swear to him. I swore to you. If Gil'dan will march for Tarmon Gaiden, it should do so beneath your banner.
Perrin stood up, startling several people in the tent. Was he leaving? He walked to the open side of the tent without a word, poking his head out.
Will, come here, he called.
A weave of the One Power kept people outside from listening in. Morghese could see Masuri's weaves, tied off and warding the tent. Their intricacy seemed to mock her own minuscule talent. Masuri tapped the side of her cup, and Morghese hastened to refill it. The woman liked to sip tea when nervous. Perrin turned back into the tent, followed by a handsome youth carrying a cloth-wrapped bundle.
Unfurl it, Perrin said.
The young man did so, looking apprehensive. It bore the wolf-head emblem that was Perrin's sigil.
I didn't make this banner, Perrin said. I never wanted it, but upon advice, I let it fly. Well, the reasons for doing that are past. I'd ordered the thing taken down, but that never seems to work for long.
He looked to Will.
Will, I want it passed through camp. I'm giving a direct order. I want each and every copy of this blasted banner burned. You understand?
Will paled.
But do it, Perrin said. Aleandra, you'll swear to Rand as soon as we find him. You won't ride beneath my banner because I won't have a banner. I'm a blacksmith, and that's the end of it. I've stomached this foolishness for too long.
Perrin? Fael asked. She looked surprised. Is this wise? Fool man. He should have at least talked to his wife about this. But men would be men. They liked their secrets and their plans.
I don't know if it's wise, but it's what I'm doing, he said, sitting down. Be off, Will. I want those banners burned by tonight. No holdouts, you understand?
Will stiffened, then spun and strode from the tent without giving a reply. The lad looked as if he felt betrayed. Oddly, Morghese found herself feeling a little of the same. It was foolish. This was what she wanted, it was what Perrin should do. And yet the people were frightened, with good reason. That sky, the things that were happening in the world. Well, in a time like this, perhaps a man could be excused for taking command.
You are a fool, Perrin Ebarra, Masuri said.
She had a blunt way about her.
Son, Tam addressed Perrin. The lads put a lot of stock in that banner.
Too much, Perrin said.
Perhaps, but it's good to have something to look to. When you took down the other banner, it was hard on them. This will be worse.
It needs to be done, Perrin said. The Two Rivers men have gotten too attached to it. Started talking like they're going to stay with me instead of going back to their families where they belong. When we get gateways working again, Tam, you'll be taking them and going.
He looked at Berylaine.
I suppose I can't be rid of you and your men. You'll go back with me to Rand.
I wasn't aware, Berylaine said stiffly, that you needed to be rid of us.
You seemed far less reluctant of my support when demanding the services of my winged guardsmen in rescuing your wife. Perrin took a deep breath.
I appreciate your help, all of you. We did a good thing in Maldon, and not just for Fael and Aleandra. It was a thing that needed doing. But burn me, that's over now. If you want to go on to follow Rand, I'm sure he'll have you. But my Ashaman are exhausted, and the tasks I was given are complete. I've got these hooks inside of me, pulling me back to Rand. Before I can do that, I need to be done with all of you.
Husband, Fael said, her words clipped. Might I suggest that we begin with the ones who want to be sent away?
Yes, Aravine said. The former Guy Shine sat near the back of the tent, easy to overlook, though she had become an important force in Perrin's camp administration. She acted as something of an unofficial steward for him. Some of the refugees would be happy to return to their homes.
I'd rather move everyone if I can, Perrin said. Grady?
The Ashaman shrugged his shoulders.
The gateways I've made for scouts haven't taxed me too much, and I think I could make some larger ones. I'm still a little weak, but I am mostly over the sickness. Nialt will need more time, though.
My lord, Balwer coughed softly. I have some figures of curious note, numbers, projections. Moving as many people as you now have through gateways will take hours, maybe days. It won't be a quick endeavor as when we approached Maldon.
That's going to be rough, my lord, Grady said. I don't think I could hold one open such a long time. Not if you want me strong enough to be in fighting shape just in case.
Perrin settled back down, inspecting the map again. Berylaine's cup was empty. Morgaze hurried over to fill it.
All right, then, Perrin said. We'll start sending some smaller groups of refugees away, but those who want to leave first.
Also, perhaps it is time to send messengers to contact the Lord Dragon. He might be willing to send more Ashaman. Perrin nodded.
Yes.
Last we knew, Sionid said, he was in Cairhien. The largest number of the refugees are from there, so we could begin by sending some of them home, along with scouts, to meet with the Lord Dragon.
He's not there, Perrin said.
How do you know?
Adara set down her cup.
Morgaze crept around the perimeter of the tent and snatched it for refilling. Eldest of the Wise Ones, and perhaps foremost among them, it was hard to tell with Wise Ones, Adara looked strikingly young for her reported age. Morgaze's own tiny ability in the One Power was enough to tell her that this woman was strong, probably the strongest in the room.
Perrin seemed to flounder.
Had he a source of information he wasn't sharing?
Rand has a habit of being where you don't expect him. I doubt he's remained in Cairhien. But Sionid is right. It's the best place to start looking.
My lord, Balwer said, I worry about what we might blunder into if we are not careful. Fleets of refugees returning through gateways unexpectedly. We have been out of touch for some time. Perhaps in addition to contacting the dragon, we could send scouts to gather information?
Perrin nodded.
I could approve that.
Balwer settled back, looking pleased, though it was hard to tell. That man was strikingly good at hiding his emotions. Why did he want so badly to send someone to Cairhien?
I'll admit, Grady said, I'm worried about moving all of these people. Even once Niald is well, it's going to be exhausting to hold gateways open long enough to get them all through.
Perrin Ebarra, Adara said, there may be a way to fix this problem.
How?
These apprentices have been speaking of something. A circle, it is called. If we linked together, the Ashaman and some of us, then perhaps we could give them the strength to create larger gateways.
Perrin scratched at his beard.
Grady? I've never linked in a circle before, my lord. But if we could figure it out, well, bigger gateways would move more people through faster. That could help a lot.
All right, Perrin said, turning back to the Wise One.
What would it cost me for you to try this?
You have worked too long with Aes Sedai, Perinebara, Idara said with a sniff. Not everything must be done at a cost. This will benefit us all. I have been contemplating suggesting it for some time.
Perrin frowned.
How long have you known that this might work?
Long enough.
Burn you, woman? Why didn't you bring it to me earlier, then?
You seem hardly interested in your position as chief most of the time, Idara said coldly. Respect is a thing earned and not demanded, Perrin Ebara.
Morgaze held her breath at that insolent comment. Many a lord would snap at someone for that tone. Perrin froze, but then nodded, as if that were the expected answer.
Your Ashaman were sick when I first thought of this, Idara continued. It would not have worked before. This is the appropriate time to raise the question. Therefore, I have done so.
She insults Aes Sedai with one breath, Morgaze thought, then acts just like one with the next. Still, being a captive in Maldon had helped Morgaze begin to understand Aiel ways. Everyone claimed the Aiel were incomprehensible, but she gave talk like that little credence. Aiel were people, like any other. They had odd traditions and cultural quirks, but so did everyone else. A queen had to be able to understand all of the people within her realm, and all of her realm's potential enemies.
Very well, Perrin said. Grady, don't fatigue yourself too much, but start working with them. See if you can manage forming a circle.
Yes, my lord, Grady said.
The Ashaman always seemed somewhat distant.
Might be good to involve Niald in this. He gets dizzy when he stands, but he's been itching to do something with the power. This might be a way for him to get back into practice.
All right, Perrin said.
We have not finished talking of the scouts we are sending to Cairhien, Sionid said. I would like to be with the group.
Perrin scratched his bearded chin.
I suppose. Take your warders, two maidens, and Pell Adair. Be unobtrusive if you can.
Also, Camilla Nolaisen will go, Fael said.
Of course she would add one Chafael to the group. Balwar cleared his throat.
My lord, we are in dire need of paper and new pen nibs, not to mention some other delicate materials.
Surely that can wait,
Perrin frowned.
No, Fael said slowly. No, husband, I think this is a good suggestion. We should send one person to collect supplies. Balwar, would you go and fetch the things yourself?
If my lady wishes it, the secretary said. I have ached to visit the school the dragon has opened in Cairhien. They would have the supplies we need.
I suppose you can go then, Perrin said. But nobody else. Light! Any more, and we might as well send the whole burning army through.
Balwar nodded, looking satisfied. That one was obviously spying for Perrin now. Would he tell Ebara who she really was? Had he done so already?
Perrin didn't act as if he knew.
She gathered up more cups. The meeting was beginning to break up. Of course Balwar would offer to spy for Ebara. She should have approached the dusty man earlier to see what the price would be to keep his silence. Mistakes like that could cost a queen her throne. She froze, hand halfway to a cup.
You're not a queen any longer. You have to stop thinking like one.
During the first weeks following her silent abdication, she'd hoped to find a way to return to Andor so she could be a resource to Elaine. However, the more she'd considered it, the more she'd realized that she had to stay away. Everyone in Andor had to assume that Morgaze was dead. Each queen had to make her own way, and Elaine might seem a puppet to her own mother if Morgaze returned. Beyond that, Morgaze had made many enemies before leaving.
Why had she done such things? Her memory of those times was cloudy, but her return would only rip open old wounds. She continued gathering up cups. Perhaps she should have done the noble thing and killed herself. If enemies of the throne discovered who she was, they could use her against Elaine, the same way that the White Cloaks would have. But for now, she was not a threat. Besides, she was confident that Elaine would not risk Andor's safety, even to save her mother. Perrin bade farewell to the attendees and gave some basic instructions for the evening camp. Morghese knelt down, using a rag to wipe dirt from the side of a teacup that had rolled over. Niall had told her that Gabriel was dead, and Al-Thor held Camelin. That would have prompted Elaine to return, wouldn't it? Was she queen? Had the houses supported her, or had they acted against her because of what Morghese had done? The scouting party might bring news that Morghese hungered for. She would have to find a way into any meeting discussing their reports, perhaps by offering to serve the tea. The better she grew at her job as Fael's maid, the closer she'd be able to get to important events. As the Wise Ones made their way from the tent, Morghese caught sight of someone outside. Telenvor, dutiful as always. Tall, broad of shoulder, he wore his sword at his waist and a look of pointed concern in his eyes. He'd followed her practically non-stop since Malden, and while she'd complained of it out of principle, she didn't mind. After 2 months apart, he wanted to take every opportunity to be together. Looking into those beautiful young eyes of his, she could not entertain the notion of suicide, even for the good of Andor. She felt a fool for that. Hadn't she let her heart lead her into enough trouble already? Malden had changed her, though. She'd missed Talonvor dearly, and then he'd come for her, when he shouldn't have risked himself so. He was more devoted to her than to Andor itself, and for some reason that was exactly what she needed. She began to make her way toward him, balancing 8 cups in the crook of her arm while carrying the saucers in her hand.
Megden, Perrin said as she passed out of the tent.
She hesitated, turning back. Everyone but Perrin and his wife had withdrawn.
Come back here, please, Perrin said. And Talonvor, you might as well come in. I can see you lurking out there. Honestly. It's not as if anyone was going to swoop down and steal her away while she was inside a tent full of Wise Ones and Aes Sedai.
Morghese raised an eyebrow. From what she'd seen, Perrin himself had followed Fael around lately nearly as much. Talonvor shot her a smile as he entered. He took some of the cups from her arm, then both of them presented themselves before Perrin. Talonvor bowed formally, which gave Morghese a stab of annoyance. He was still a member of the Queen's Guard, the only loyal member as far as she knew. He shouldn't be bowing to this rural upstart.
I was given a suggestion back when you first joined us, Perrin said gruffly. Well, I think it's about time I took it. Lately, you two are like youths from different villages, mooning over one another in the hour before the festival ends. It's high time you were married. We could have Alliandra do it, or maybe I could. Do you have some tradition you follow?
Morghese blinked in surprise. Curse Leany for putting that idea in Perrin's head. Morghese felt a sudden panic, though Talonvor glanced at her questioningly.
Go change into something nicer if you want, Perrin said. Gather any you want to witness and be back here in an hour. Then we'll get this silliness over with.
She felt her face grow hot with anger. Silliness? How dare he? And in such a way, sending her off like a child, as if her emotion, her love, was merely an inconvenience to him? He was rolling up his map, but then Fael's hand placed on his arm caused him to look up and notice that his orders had not been followed.
Well? Perrin asked.
No, Morghese said. She kept her gaze on Perrin,
She didn't want to see the inevitable disappointment and rejection in Talonvor's face.
What?
Perrin asked.
No, Perrin Ebarra, Morghese said. I will not be back here in an hour to be married.
But if you want tea served, or your tent cleaned, or something packed, then call for me. If you wish your clothing washed, I will oblige. But I am your servant, Perrin Ebarra, not your subject. I am loyal to the Queen of Andor. You have no authority to give me this sort of command.
Why,
the Queen herself wouldn't demand this. Forcing two people to marry because you're tired of the way they look at one another? Like two hounds you intend to breed, then sell the pups?
I didn't mean it that way.
You said it nonetheless. Besides, how can you be sure of the young man's intentions? Have you spoken to him, asked him, interviewed him as a lord should in a matter like this?
But Megden,
Perrin said,
he does care for you. You should have seen the way he acted when you were taken. Light woman, but it's obvious.
Matters of the heart are never obvious. Pulling herself up to her full height, she almost felt a queen again. If I choose to marry a man, I will make that decision on my own. For a man who claims he doesn't like being in charge, you certainly do like giving commands. How can you be sure that I want this young man's affections? Do you know my heart? To the side, Talonvor stiffened. Then he bowed formally to Perrin and strode from the tent. He was an emotional one. Well, he needed to know that she would not be shoved around. Not anymore. First Gabriel, then Valda, and now Perrin Ebarra. Talonvor would be ill-served if he were to receive a woman who married him because she was told to do so. Morghese measured Perrin, who was blushing. She softened her tone. You're young at this yet, so I'll give you some advice. There are some things a lord should be involved in, but others he should always leave untouched. You'll learn the difference as you practice, but kindly refrain from making demands like this one until you've at least counseled with your wife. With that, she curtsied, still carrying the teacups, and withdrew. She shouldn't have spoken to him so. Well, he shouldn't have made a command like that. It seemed she had some spark left in her, after all. She hadn't felt that firm or certain of herself since before Gabriel's arrival in Camelin, though she would have to find Talonvor and soothe his pride. She returned the cups to the nearby washing station, then went through the camp, looking for Talonvor. Around her, servants and workers were busy at their duties. Many of the former Gaishine still acted as if they were among the Shido, bowing and scraping whenever someone so much as looked at them. Those from Kyrian were the worst. They'd been held longest, and Aiel were very good at teaching lessons. There were, of course, a few real Aiel Gaishine. What an odd custom. From what Morghese had been able to determine, some of the Gaishine here had been taken by the Shido, then had been liberated in Maldon. They retained the white, and so that meant they were now acting as slaves to their own relatives and friends. Any people could be understood. But, she admitted, perhaps the Aiel would take longer than others. Take, for instance, that group of maidens loping through camp. Why did they have to force everyone out of their way? There was no... Morghese hesitated. Those maidens were heading straight for Perrin's tent. They looked like they had news. Her curiosity getting the better of her, Morghese followed. The maidens left two guards by the front tent flaps, but the ward against eavesdropping had been removed. Morghese rounded the tent, trying to look as if she was doing anything other than eavesdropping, feeling a stab of shame for leaving Talonvor to his pain.
White cloaks, Perrin Ebarra, Sulin's stout voice reported from inside. There is a large force of them on the road directly in front of us.